Let us come before the Lord this morning. I feel that we need to remember our brethren and sisters in Ukraine, those who are suffering. While we are in relative ease, those people are suffering today. So let us come before the Lord for them. Father, we beseech of thee for our brethren and sisters in Ukraine, for the Lord's people there, thy church there, and the nation as well, the government, the democratic elected government of that country. We pray that, Lord, thou wilt protect them. Thou wilt deal with Putin and the evil, wicked forces of Russia. And we pray, O God and Father, that thou wilt give Western leaders and other leaders wisdom at this time in all their deliberations. We ask of thee, O God, that thou wilt protect thine own children there as they seek to help others, bring in others, give others shelter, give them food. We thank thee for the money that's going out to help them. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt undertake in all of these aspects. We come to give thee thanks that though we're in a different part of the world, it's one church, the Church of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we reach out to our brethren and sisters in the Lord even this day. We pray for those, O God, who need our prayers, even as we meet two others who are suffering at this time through bereavement. We think of the Stalford family, think of the Ray family, and we think of those in sickness. We think of our sister Mary especially. God will comfort her and ease her pain. Draw near to her family. Remember Nessie, her daughter, the situation, O God. We pray there in the hospital in Luxembourg that thou wilt come, that thou wilt bring thy grace and salvation and healing. Remember her husband and children. Father, we bring ourselves to thee now, and we pray that thou wilt help us to meet together in thy house to worship thee, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We do welcome you all this morning in the Lord's name to the Lord's house to meet together. And if you join with us online, we welcome you as well this morning. We do appreciate your continuing complying with the restrictions that we've had in place for a long time now, entering, exiting, and while in the building. And we know that this has all been for our safety, so we've met together. Session and committee have looked at certain relaxations, the restrictions. We're doing this with caution this morning. Want all to understand that. Face coverings, realizing some will still want to wear them indoors in the meantime, and that's fine, and we understand that. Social distancing, you can sit at a distance from others if you so desire, or in your bubbles if you wish. From next Lord's Day, pews will be back in their normal positions. Upstairs we've already made some adjustments there. Hymn books and Bibles will be back in the pews. Then for a while you have the option of using the hymn books or just looking at the screen if you so desire. Some people may still not be happy handling books and things like that, and we understand that. As of now, we have just the one entrance and exit. We have done that the last few weeks anyway, and we trust that you'll again keep that in mind. Offering baskets will still remain at the exits, as has been the case, and sanitising stations will remain in place, and we trust you'll use them as you enter, as you feel you need to use them, maybe as you exit as well. That's fine. They'll be still there in the foreseeable future. And we will start to stand, at least from next Lord's Day, for some of the hymns and psalms as well as we sing. So do remember these matters. If you're unclear about them, do mention it to us. We'll try to make it clear to you as we can, but we don't want anyone to feel that they can't wear a mask, they still want to wear one, or don't anyone to feel that they can't sit at a distance from others if they still want to do that. That's fine, and we understand that. We have to respect the views of others as we meet together in this way. The communion service is at the close of this service for all who know the Lord. Do remember that, and we meet together as the Lord's people to remember his death as he has appointed us so to do in his word. We welcome all whom the Lord has invited to his table this morning. Family and friends, night service this evening. We trust that you will return. The nights are starting. I noticed last Sunday night I was getting to church almost in the light. And so we encourage folk maybe to be able to come out again in the evening time, in the longer nights as they come in. And tonight we're having Stuart Nichols, a testimony of one who had no time for Christianity or church and was wonderfully saved by the grace of God. He will be sharing his testimony, and the soloist will be Carla Hunter. She'll be ministering in song. Do come and join us again this evening. Remember the season of prayer in the prayer room at 6:30. Little Sunbeams on Monday from 10:30 to 11:30. The children's meeting on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. for all the boys and girls. Bible study and prayer meeting in touch with the Father, continuing our studies in John 17. And this week would normally be our time for to pray for our families. We'll include that, of course, but we want to pray especially for Ukraine on Tuesday night. So we want everyone to come. If you can possibly come for an hour, it's just an hour. Or if you can't, meet in your own home for an hour and seek the Lord's face in prayer. It's more important that we do this than anything else at this time. And so we lift our hearts to God on behalf of our brethren. Says, remember that Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Friday night, there'll be a present meeting for ministers and elders on Zoom at 8 p.m. Saturday night, Youth Reach, Speaker Johnny Whiteside. That's for all youth on Saturday night at 7:30. Next Lord's Day, prayer meeting at 11, Sunday school at 10, morning worship 11:30, and the gospel service at 7. I will be here myself at both services. Sister Natasha will minister in song in the evening time, the Lord willing. Building fund at both services next Lord's Day. The after church youth meeting will be at 8:30 next Lord's Day. The last Saturday in March, March the 26th, the Consider Christ Outreach resumes again, this time in County Cavan. If you're interested, please contact the Reverend Jonathan Crane for this. Remember, all who are sick, those going through treatments and those recovering from illnesses, your prayers are deeply appreciated by these folk and their families. We will sing the Psalm 100, all people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. Keeping our seats as we sing, and then if you're able to stand, we will stand for prayer.
Amen.
Gracious and eternal Father, we bow in your presence this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that thou art good. Thou art worthy to be praised. Thou art our great God. Thou art above all. Thou art all in all. We rejoice in thee this morning and in thy great salvation. We thank thee for the love that drew salvation's plan, for the grace that brought it down to man, for the mighty gulf that God himself did span at Calvary. We rejoice that Calvary covers it all. The past with its sin and shame, Jesus led him there, and Calvary covers it all. We pray that you'd meet with us this morning. We pray for a sense of your presence and your nearness and your power. We pray for your unction to be upon us. We pray that you'll speak to every heart that's gathered in thy house today. We pray for those who know thee not, that, Lord, thou wilt bring them to a saving experience of Christ, that they may enter in today and trust in him and know his grace and his salvation. Lord, the power of God upon their lives. We pray for we thy people, that we may be strengthened and sustained and encouraged and helped. We pray that we'll draw alongside others to encourage them. And Lord, by our prayers, we'll encourage those, even thy people in Ukraine today. By our prayers, think of those children kneeling in the snow and praying. Oh God, how it touched our hearts. We think of those people gathering together 24/7 and shifts to pray. Oh Lord, we ask of thee, give to us here in this land, in this place, that spirit of prayer. And grant, Lord, that the power of prayer will prevail amongst us in these days. And grant that the Spirit of God will be poured out upon the land of Ukraine in saving power, in delivering that land at this time from the clutches, the iron fist of the evil Putin regime. We look to thee, O God, that thou wouldst hear us, even in heaven thy dwelling place today. Remember the sick, O God. We lift them collectively to thee, and we pray for answers to prayer. We pray for healing. We pray that thy touch will be upon all, O God, that need that touch from thee. Remember today, O God, the needs of so many, O God, who maybe feel unable to still gather with us, and others who have grown cold and just have left off coming at all to the house of God. We pray that in weeks to come thou wilt bring them back again. And give them a desire and a hunger and speak to them. Make them uncomfortable in their non-attendance. And Lord, we pray that if they're able, physically able and mentally able to be here, we pray that thou wilt bring them along in the days to come. Bless in the evening gospel service. Pour out your spirit upon thy servant as he tells of the grace of God in his life. Remember, O God, the one who would minister in song, fill her with the Holy Spirit. And we pray that tonight the blessing of God will be upon the word, right across our land, across, Lord, this island, across the nation, across the nations of the world, that thou wilt bless the witness of thy truth, that men and women from whatever background, boys and girls, will be brought to saving faith in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're reading together from the Word of God this morning. We find it in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. The book of 2 Kings and the chapter 4. We're reading together just a few verses toward the end of this chapter. 2 Kings, chapter 4, verse 38. Let us hear the Word of God this morning. And Elisha came again to Gilgal. There was a dearth in the land. The sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seethe the pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lapful, and came and spread them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, then bring meal,
And he cast it into the pot, and he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. There was no harm in the pot. And there came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full of ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, what should I set before 100 men? He said again, give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. So he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof, according to the word of the Lord. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. And boys and girls, we were thinking last week about the Lord Jesus Christ at 12 years of age. The Lord Jesus Christ, just a young lad. Maybe there's somebody here today, and you're 12 years of age, or near to 12 years of age, as Jesus was then. And so here he is. He's in the temple, of course, and he's sitting among these teachers in the temple, these learned people of his day, the Lord Jesus Christ, at 12 years of age. Of course, he was brought up there, as we told you last week, by his parents at the feast of the Passover. And that time had gone, and they were returning. And the Bible tells us they supposed, or they thought, that Jesus was in their company. But the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't with them. And sometimes, boys and girls, we think that the Lord Jesus is with us, but he's not with us. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is not truly in your heart, not truly in your life, not truly your Savior and Lord. And so they went a day's journey. They went a day's journey, boys and girls. And of course, they were camping down for the night, no doubt, staying overnight until they continued their journey. But the Lord Jesus wasn't in their company, boys and girls. They sought him among their family, those that they knew, their acquaintance, those that they were friendly with. But they found not the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, boys and girls, they not only supposed he was there and he wasn't there. They thought he was there and he wasn't there. But he really wasn't there. They were separated from him. Separation. And boys and girls, that speaks to us of how it is with us. As we're born into this world, we're born separated from God. Separated from God by our sin. You see, your sin has separated between you and your God. We're separated from God this morning because of our sin. And boys and girls, they were seeking the Lord Jesus. And maybe like Mary and Joseph on that occasion, you are seeking the Lord Jesus. He's not in your company. You're not close to him. You don't really know him. You're seeking him. You're seeking him this morning. And the Bible says, if you seek the Lord, you will find him. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. And boys and girls, this morning, I trust that you will seek the Lord, that you will invite him to be part of your company, to be in your heart and in your life this morning. We're going to sing a chorus, boys and girls. Away far beyond Jordan, we'll meet in that land. Oh, won't it be grand? Away far beyond Jordan, we'll meet in that beautiful land. And boys and girls, if you're truly saved, then we can meet in that land, that beautiful land that is beyond. We'll sing through this chorus once and do the actions, of course, as we keep our seats. Oh, We'll join in the singing of a further hymn, 362. I've reached the land of corn and wine, and all its riches freely mine. Here shines undimmed one blissful day, for all my night has passed away. We'll keep our seats and then we'll stand for a moment, if you can, for prayer, please. Child of God, what a prospect we have today. I trust you're looking up, because the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You cannot look at world events without seeing that. And we need to look up as Christians. Don't be looking down here, but look up, because our redemption draweth nigh. Let's stand for prayer, please. Our gracious God and loving Father, we turn now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I turn your attention to the final few verses of 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 42 to 44. And again, we're thinking on the theme of lessons from the life of Elisha. This morning it is the Lord's provision. The Lord's provision. Scripture shows us how God wonderfully provides for our needs. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And God uses his people in relation to this. In Matthew 14 and 16, the Lord said to his disciples, give ye them to eat. Give ye them to eat. And the Bible tells us further in that chapter, Matthew 14, verse 20, they did all eat and were filled. You see, human instruments are used by the Lord in this way, as we see in the context of Matthew chapter 14. And every child of God is a steward of his master's goods. It is the believer's responsibility to invest his master's money and his master's materials in such a way that God might be glorified and his work might be prospered. Inasmuch as the Old Testament scriptures, according to Paul, were written for our learning, Romans 15:4, we may approach this incident here that's recorded for us in 2 Kings 4, 42 to 44. From the standpoint of receiving enlightenment and encouragement with regard to our responsibilities of stewardship in this day in which we live. We want to look this morning at some aspects of this story that will shed light upon this matter of stewardship. May the Lord be pleased to open our hearts to receive his word this morning. The Lord's provision. Three things I want to mainly look at here in these verses of God's word, and as we seek to look at this theme of scripture. The donation that was given to Elisha, that's the first thing. Verse 42. There came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. Here was faithful stewardship. That's the first thing. This donation was given after a time of drought. If you read the context of the chapter, you will see that. But here is faithful stewardship. The incident recorded in this passage apparently occurred sometime after the episode that we looked at last week, death in the pot. And for some time, there had been no crops in the fields. But the drought had been broken by the advent of rain, and the farmers had sown their fields, were now bringing home the harvest. And here is an unnamed donor who, in the midst of his changed circumstances, remembered his responsibility to God. The loaves now donated to the prophet had been baked from the flour of his first fruits, offered to the Lord in gratitude and thanksgiving. If you take time to read Leviticus chapter 23, verses 9 to 14, you will read about the first fruits. And of course, you will read there of the first fruits being brought as an offering to the Lord. This man knew God's requirements. He knew his responsibility, and he gladly obeyed the will and the word of the Lord. And scripture teaching for believers is just as clear today as it was in Old Testament times. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered. Paul, in writing to Timothy, said in 1 Timothy 6:18, we are to be ready to distribute. And what is needed today by all of us is a clear understanding of our responsibility to God in the matter of stewardship and a real undertaking of our duty to God. And so here we have faithful stewardship. But then secondly, we have courageous stewardship. Courageous stewardship. Notice that this donation was given during days of apostasy and backsliding. Here is a courageous steward of his increase. This man was a resident in a town that's called Baal Shalisha. The name itself is indicative of the apostasy that had overtaken the land of Canaan. There was no doubt many of the farmers and those around about this man who sacrificed to Baal and would have brought their offering of first fruits to the Canaanite deities of the day. But while his neighbors served their false gods, this man brought his gift to Elisha, the servant of Jehovah, the true God. Around us as believers today, the world donates its treasures to their gods, the gods of pleasure, the gods of leisure, the gods of passion, the gods of ambition, and many other false gods that are reared up on the idols, by idols in the hearts of so many. Surrounded by such wild abandon to false gods, the believer must see to it that their substance is distributed to the Lord and to his work. And so it was courageous stewardship. But then it was also, thirdly, sacrificial stewardship. This gift was given to Elisha in a time of real scarcity. Here is sacrificial stewardship. And if we are right in suggesting that this was the first harvest since the time of drought, then this man gave his loaves and corn at a time when things were tight for him and his family. According to Leviticus 23:14, the law required, ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day you brought an offering unto your God. And so their first responsibility is to bring an offering to the Lord. And this donor here, he wished to fulfill his obligation to God first. And so he, in a sacrificial way, he brought his loaves and his corn to Elisha. It has been said, and not without an element of truth, that God often gets our tips and not our tithes. But we need to be like David, who would not offer to the Lord that which cost him nothing. We need to keep in mind the example of the lad who gave his lunch. It was everything he had. The 5 loaves and the 2 fishes he gave to the Lord. And how there needs to be more sacrificial giving amongst the people of God today. But then it was fourthly discerning stewardship. Look at verse 42 again. He brought the man of God the bread of the first fruits. 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn and the husk thereof. It was given to the Lord's representative, Elisha. In other words, this man, this donor, this giver, he was guided by the Spirit of God. And he gave his offering to God's prophet. How we need to be discerning in our stewardship. It has happened on many occasions the Lord's people have been hoodwinked and hoaxed by appeals for money from questionable organizations. Inasmuch as believers will someday have to give an account of their stewardship, we must have discernment, men and women. We must have wisdom. As we give to organizations in need of assistance, the acid test in all of this is, are these organizations of God? Are they doing the Lord's work? Or are they lining their own pockets and feathering their own nests with their own propaganda? We need discernment in our stewardship. But then, I want you to see, fifthly, it was timely stewardship. It was given at a time of desperate need. The crowd who'd been listening to Elisha's teaching were hungry. There were no supplies of food available. You can see by what we're putting up on WhatsApp that what is going to Faith and Action is going to these people who are needy. These people who are hungry. These people who need shelter. And the churches there are bringing them in. They're giving them shelter, those children. They're helping them. And so it's very timely. And I think, if my memory serves me right, we gave raised nearly 1,000 there just for this cause. And maybe it's over that now because it was some other came in. So we thank God for your giving to that needy cause. Just when the need was greatest, God's servant from Baal Shalisha arrived with his offering of loaves and corn. And how wonderfully God's supply is time to meet our need. It's been said, you know, God is never before his time, but he's never too late. He's always on time. And testimonies by the hundred, and many no doubt even in this gathering today, could be given by God's faithful children with regard to God's miraculous supply. God has his servants in every place, ready to do his command. Our stewardship, then, in the light of this example, must be faithful. It must be courageous. It must be sacrificial. It must be discerning. And by waiting upon God, it must be timely. It is this quality of stewardship that is owned of God and honored with his blessing, the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. But secondly, this morning, I want you to see the direction given by Elisha. Look at verse 42. He said, "Give unto the people that they may eat." Having received the gift, Elisha immediately gave the orders for the food to be distributed to the needy people who were around him. The man's offering was to be shared. Elisha saw the gift not as an end in itself, but simply as a means to an end. The blessing and the strengthening of others. And he therefore commanded the servant to share the food. And further, the command meant that the food was to be shared among the people. And Elisha himself certainly had no abundance or plenty. Yet he quietly gave the directions for the food newly received to be given away. What had been sacrificially given by the man from Baal Shalisha was now sacrificially given to others. Elisha received the offering, but he instantly relayed it to the people who apparently had gathered to hear him teach. The prophet did not first feast on the food, but rather tended to the needs of others. And right here, we must point out the temptation every society or organization faces. And that which must be resolutely fought against, it is to receive from God's people, but to feel, to see that those gifts are given to those who are in desperate need. It is more blessed to give than to receive, the scripture says. Is there not here a suggestion too, at least, that this order of Elisha meant that the gift of bread and corn was to be utterly spent on the behalf of others? He was well aware of the size of the crowd. He was well aware of the smallness, seemingly, of the gift. For loaves in the east were exceedingly small. Nevertheless, he ordered that these provisions be given away. They be given away. Remember what Paul said to the Corinthian believers in 2 Corinthians 12:15. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. The divine paradox is that they who spend themselves find themselves renewed. They exchange their weariness for God's strength. The great man of God, C.H. Spurgeon, made a visit to the city of Bristol. He was there to preach in various churches. And he hoped to collect 300. 300 in that day was a lot of money. 300, which he needed immediately for his orphanage in London. He got the money. Retiring to bed on the last night of his visit to Bristol, he couldn't sleep, and the Lord began to speak to him and told him to give the £300 to George Mueller. Spurgeon started to argue with the Lord, and he said, "But Lord, I need it for my children in London." But the Lord said, "Give it to George Mueller." It was only when he submitted to the Lord that sleep came to him. The next morning, he made his way to Mueller's orphanage in Bristol. And he found that great man of God, George Mueller, upon his knees before an open Bible praying. The famous preacher placed his hand on the shoulder of Mueller and said, "George, God has told me to give you this £300. "Oh," said Mueller, "dear Spurgeon, I've been asking the Lord for that very sum." And they rejoiced together. Spurgeon returned to London. On his desk he found a letter awaiting him. He opened it to find it contained 300 guineas. "There," said Spurgeon with great joy, "the Lord has returned my £300 with 300 shillings interest." You see, the Lord is no man's debtor. You see, he gave, and the Lord blessed him in giving. You see the direction that was challenged here. The direction of the prophet was not to go unchallenged. Look at verse 43. "And his servant," or his servant, "said, 'What should I set before 100 men?' He said again, 'Give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof.'" And so, the servant, he's not named here, but probably it was Gehazi who was the servant of Elisha. But whoever he was, he failed in not giving his master unqualified obedience. It's not for the servant to question his master's direction. But why did he challenge the instructions of Elisha? Maybe it was out of selfishness, for fear they would not be sufficient for himself. He may have thought within himself, "If I distribute these loaves and this corn, and surely amongst this large crowd, there'll not be enough for ourselves." And when God's people fail to give sacrificially to meet the needs of others on the basis that would impoverish themselves, they sin against the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 to 25. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meet, but attendereth to poverty. Again in Proverbs 13 and 7, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. And so there's selfishness here on the part of this man, this servant. Are you selfish today? Thinking about yourself? Of course you have to provide for your family. Of course you have to provide for your own needs. But think about others today. Think about others in need. Think about what the Lord directs you to do. Again, we have unbelief on the part of the servant here. He was not believing that the Lord could feed the multitude with the loaves and the corn. His retort to Elisha's direction suggests that. What should I set this before 100 men? Like Philip on a later day at the feeding of the 5,000, who said to the Lord, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. John 6 and 7. You see, he felt the need was too great and the resources were too scanty. As we look out today, men and women, on a needy world, are we tempted to feel that the church simply cannot meet the need because we are insufficient, because we have inadequate supplies? If so, we are falling into the same sin of unbelief that captured the heart of Elisha's servant here. The command to all of us today, every Christian, is this: give ye them to eat. Maybe on the part of the servant there was a feeling that since God had so wonderfully provided for their needs, they should hoard the food for themselves. Hoard it. Maybe you're a hoarder today. Maybe you're a bit of a hoarder. And you'll hoard things up. And you look in your cupboards and those tins are out of date. For a long time, you haven't used them. You're a bit of a hoarder. Well, maybe he thought they should hoard it for themselves. After all, if the food could not provide one meal for the crowd, it would provide many meals for his master and himself. And how many there are who fall into that snare. They feed, I have to provide for a rainy day. I have to provide for myself. When they begin to sacrifice, to spend, and to be spent, there will always be voices raised against foolish expenditure, unnecessary expense. Remember the voice of Peter there, Matthew 16, 22. In the margin it reads, pity thyself. That's the marginal render. Pity thyself. Maybe it's the voice of Judas. In John 12, 5, he said, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? But my friend, though the direction was challenged, the direction was repeated. Verse 43. Give the people that they may eat. He said again. He repeated himself. Give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. This man, he truly lived for the Lord, Elisha. He's characterized by three vital qualities. First of all, selflessness. Selflessness. He lived for others. Give the people that they need. He had no thought of looking after himself. He had compassion on the crowd. Remember, the Lord saw the multitude? They were gathered. They had nothing to eat. He was moved with compassion toward them. That's the Lord Jesus. Have you a compassion in your heart this morning? The compassion of Christ. And then he believed in the supernatural. They shall eat, he said, verse 43. There was 100 men there, only 20 loaves of barley and some corn. Yet the man of God believed that a miracle could be wrought and the hunger of the crowd satisfied by the power of God. Believe in the supernatural. What are we doing here today if we don't believe in the supernatural? And then he anticipates the superabundant. They shall eat and shall leave thereof. Elisha was not only anticipated a sufficiency, but a surplus. And here's the confidence of the man who believes that God is always liberal in his giving. The Bible says in James 1:5, we ask of God who giveth to all men liberally. God, according to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:17, God gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let's come to the final point this morning. The distribution to everyone. Look at verse 44. And so he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. In obedience to the master, however reluctantly, the servant did what he was commanded to do. He served the people. That's the first thing. Verse 44. And it's when we step out in faith. And faith at first may be very small. May be just like a grain of mustard seed. It's then that we find God doing the impossible. Someone has wrote these words, faith, mighty faith, the promise sees and looks to God alone, laughs at impossibilities and cries, it shall be done. He served the people. He supplied the needs of the people. The crowd ate of the food and were strengthened. And what to the servant was an impossible thing became a possibility. Indeed, a reality. As the loaves and corn were handed around. And here is the Old Testament counterpart to the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, or if you like, the feeding of the 4,000 as well. He served the people. He supplied their needs. And they were satisfied. The needs of the people were satisfied. Not one of them went hungry. There was enough food so that all were satisfied. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. The needs of the people were satisfied. And then the distribution surpassed the needs of the people. They did eat and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. And Paul in 2 Corinthians 9:11 said, being rich in everything to all bountifulness, which causes us thanksgiving to God. God gives, my friend, in a bountiful way. Good measure, pressed down and running over. When we give to God, we may look for that miracle surplus that indicates God's blessing upon our stewardship. You think of Paul in writing to the Philippians. He said this in Philippians 4:18. I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Liberality of the church was given. The Lord gave in a bountiful manner. If we're guided by the Spirit of God in our stewardship, we may believe God that His blessing will be upon us. In a supernatural way, God meets our needs far more exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. In a supernatural way, God blesses sacrificial giving with supernatural blessing. The Bible says, in Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith. Have you been proving the Lord? Prove me now herewith, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
You know what Paul said in Romans 8:32? Shall he not with him freely give us all things? God gives us all the blessings that we need. God is not a Scrooge, friend. He is not a miserly giver. He gives like a king. And here we have God's wonderful provision. He giveth and giveth and giveth again. How wonderful. We have such a wonderful God this morning. We have such a wonderful God. The Lord's provision. The Lord's provision. Oh, may the Lord teach us this about stewardship this morning. May the Lord bless his word even to our hearts today for his name's sake. Let us pray. Father in heaven, indelibly write upon every heart the truth of thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning to the hymn 357. I've cast my heavy burdens down on Canaan's happy shore. I'm living where the healing waters flow. We'll keep our seats and sing right through and then have the benediction. And then those who must leave can leave as we go to the door before the communion service. 357 on the screen, please. Keeping our seats. Thank you. may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.
Coverings. Let us come before the Lord this morning. I feel that we need to remember our brethren and sisters in Ukraine.